Friendship According to Humphrey, Chapter 9, Mrs. Brisbane Explains. After the custodian left, I noticed something odd beside my cage. Aldo was usually good at picking up things that didn't belong in the classroom. However, this night, he had left something behind, his city college application. I opened the good old lock that doesn't lock and slipped out of my cage. "Don't worry, Augie, old boy, I won't bother you if you won't bother me," I assured him. Maybe I was reassuring myself he wouldn't leap at me again. The application was a big piece of paper that folded up. Half of it was stuck under my cage, and it was hard to read what Aldo had written. If you're a small hamster, human handwriting looks huge, huge, huge. The only light I had to read by was from the street lamp outside the window. I squinted my eyes and I could read, "Area of Study." On the line next to it, Aldo had written, "Teaching," and scratched it out. On the line marked, "Recommendation," he hadn't written anything. I was tempted to get out my little pencil and write a nice recommendation myself. But a big college probably wouldn't care about the opinion of a small hamster, even a classroom hamster who could read and write. No, Aldo needed help from someone a lot bigger and more important than me. I knew who that person was. I just hoped she would help. I pulled the application out farther and neatly left it right between my cage and Og's. "No splashing over here, Og," I warned my neighbor. "We want to keep this application in good shape." He didn't splash all night long. Who knows? Maybe Og understood me after all, even without ears. I could hardly wait for Mrs. Brisbane to arrive the following morning. When she finally showed up, it took her a long time to take off her coat and gloves and arrange her desk. At last, she strolled slowly over to my cage. "Morning, Humphrey," she said with a smile. "You're lucky you don't have to go out in this freezing cold weather. You can stay right here in your cozy cage." "Stay in my cage? If only she knew." She turned to Og. "Morning, Og. As you've heard in class, amphibians are cold-blooded, which means we've got to keep you warm." She smiled at Og and turned away. "Wait, stop," I shouted, jumping up and down. "Look at the paper." She turned back and laughed. "What's the matter, Humphrey? Are you jealous of Og?" She leaned closer. "You know you're my favorite hamster, and you mustn't let jealousy, that old green-eyed monster, get the best of you." "Eek, a monster?" I was about to dive into my sleeping house for protection, but then I remembered that jealousy is when you envy somebody else. Jealousy wasn't a real monster, just a giant bad feeling. Was that why I felt bad when everybody else paid attention to Og? I wasn't sure. After all, my eyes are brown, not green. I was trying to sort it all out when Mrs. Brisbane turned to walk away. I'd forgotten something really, really, really important. "The application," I shouted. I knew all she'd hear was squeaking, but I had to try. Mrs. Brisbane came back to the cage. "For goodness sake, calm down, Humphrey." I didn't calm down. I started squeaking and jumping and jumping and squeaking because I couldn't think of anything else to do except open the cage door and hand her the application. I couldn't do that because she'd find out about the lock that doesn't lock. "What's this?" Mrs. Brisbane picked up the application. "Phew!" And she started to read. "Aldo must have left this here by mistake. I'll put it in his mailbox." She folded it up without finishing it. "Tell her, Og, help me. Help Aldo." I was shrieking more than squeaking now, and to my amazement, Og let out a rather large boing, which I really appreciated. "What's the matter with you two? It's an application. It's private. Boing, boing, squeak, squeak, squeak." Working together, we kept up the noise-making, and Mrs. Brisbane looked confused. She opened the application and started reading. Thank goodness, because I was getting quite hoarse. "Well, well, Aldo is applying to go back to college. That's a good idea. And he wants to study..." She stopped and stared a bit longer. "He wrote in teaching, but he crossed it out again. I wonder why." "Ask him," I shouted with the last bit of my voice. "I'd better give Aldo a call," said Mrs. Brisbane. "Hi, Mrs. Brisbane," a loud voice yelled. It was "Lower Your Voice, AJ." Mrs. Brisbane greeted him and folded up the application. She took it to her desk and didn't look at it again all day. There was nothing to do now but keep my paws firmly crossed, which I did. Sometime in the afternoon, I must have dozed off, but I was awakened by now familiar noise. Chirrup! That was the sound of a cricket. This time, it was coming from the middle of the room. "Mrs. Brisbane," a voice called out. "Chirrup!" Our teacher turned away from the board where she was writing out a math problem. "Yes, Kirk." "I think a cricket got loose." Kirk pointed to the floor near his table. "Well, pick it up, please," Mrs. Brisbane said. "Chirrup, chirrup." Kirk bent down and cupped his hands, touching the floor. "I've got it." "Good. Now please put it back where it belongs." Kirk lifted his hands and sat upright in his chair. "I don't know, Mrs. Brisbane. I think it might get away." Everyone was watching as Kirk stood up and started walking toward the cabinet where the crickets were kept. As he passed by Heidi, he suddenly opened his hand right up over her head. "Oops, dropped it. Sorry, Heidi." Heidi leaped up and started jumping around the room, shaking her head and running her hands through her hair. "Help! Get it off! Get it off!" she screamed. Everyone was laughing. Everyone except Mrs. Brisbane. "Kirk Chen, you find that cricket," she said in a very stern tone of voice. "Now." Kirk grinned. "Aw, there was no cricket. I was making that noise." Heidi stopped jumping around and glared at him. "Hear it? Chirrup, chirrup." Kirk really sounded like a cricket. "Boy, that Heidi Hopper sure can hop," he added. Gail giggled until Heidi shot her a very angry look, then quickly covered her mouth to stop herself. Mrs. Brisbane slowly walked toward Kirk. "You, my friend, are in trouble, big trouble," she said. "You will stay in during recess, and we'll have a little talk." As Kirk returned to his seat, the room was very quiet, except for a loud chirrup. Without even turning to look at him, Mrs. Brisbane said, "I heard that, Kirk Chen." I wouldn't have wanted to be Kirk when it was time for recess. Once the other students had cleared out, Mrs. Brisbane marched over to him. Boy, was he in trouble. So I was surprised at the first thing she said. "I have a confession to make. I think you're a funny guy, Kirk. You make me laugh a lot. Someday you might star in a funny movie, and I promise you, I'll be the first one in line to buy a ticket." Kirk looked as confused as I felt. But, here came the clincher. There's a time to be funny, and a way to be funny that's appropriate. And there's a time to be funny and a way to be funny that is not. It's time for you to learn the difference. I waited for a chirrup, or at least an argument, but Kirk remained silent. "Why did you pretend to drop a cricket on Heidi's head?" Mrs. Brisbane asked. Kirk shrugged his shoulders. Because it was funny? Do you think Heidi thought it was funny? Kirk shook his head. I think you did it to get attention. And if that's the case, it worked. I'm not sure, but I think Mrs. Brisbane smiled. Now, why do you like to get attention? Kirk shrugged again. So people will like you? The teacher asked. Maybe. Then I have good news for you. You don't have to play pranks anymore. People already like you. You're one of the most popular students I have. I'm not sure, but I think Kirk smiled a little too. So the next time you think of doing something funny, I want you to think about two things. First, is it really funny or is it hurtful to someone? Second, are you just doing it to get attention? Can you work on that? Yes, ma'am, said Kirk. Because if you continue to act like you acted today, I'm afraid you're going to be doing a solo comedy act in Principal Morales' office, and he may not think you're funny at all. I think Mr. Morales has a good sense of humor, but I also think that Mrs. Brisbane is good at figuring out what's going on in people's heads. I bet she studied psychology in college. Kirk was quiet for the rest of the day. So were Og and the crickets. After my classmates went home, Mrs. Brisbane hung around longer than usual. I soon learned why. Aldo came to room 26 to see her. Mrs. Brisbane, thank you for your call, he said. And I thank you for coming in early to talk, she said. They looked funny sitting in those little student chairs. I hope you'll forgive me for reading this application you left behind. It was none of my business, she explained. Maybe not, but I'd made sure it was her business, with a little help from Og. When I saw that you had written in teaching and then crossed it out, I thought perhaps you'd like to talk. Yes, I would, said Aldo. He was strangely quiet, and I guess he was nervous because he kept tugging at his collar. I was thinking I'd like to be a teacher, but I'm kind of afraid. Mrs. Brisbane listened while Aldo explained his fears about not being smart enough or interesting enough to be a good teacher. Everybody feels that way, she said with a warm smile. What makes you think you would like to teach? Was I surprised to hear Aldo talk about how much he liked books, science, history, math, learning, how much he liked children. He didn't mention hamsters, but I knew how he felt about me. When he was finished, Mrs. Brisbane laughed out loud. You better become a teacher or I'll be angry with you. You sound like a born teacher. How can I know for sure? Aldo asked. Well, would you like to try it out? Mrs. Brisbane asked. Try out teaching? Yes, we'll pick a day for you to come in and teach a subject to the class. You can pick any subject. See how it feels to be in front of a classroom. See how the students react to you. Aldo rose and began to pace. That's a wonderful offer. I don't know, sounds good. Maybe. Please think about it. Talk it over with your wife and let me know, Mrs. Brisbane suggested. But you'll have to do it soon. This application is due in a week. I will, said Aldo. If I could be half the teacher you are, I'd be happy. Mrs. Brisbane laughed. Thank you, Aldo, but even after all these years, I still have my bad days. Aldo shook her hand about 10 times before leaving. Mrs. Brisbane gathered together her things, and when she was ready to leave for the day, she turned to Og and me. Hope you're satisfied, guys, she said. I don't know about Og, but believe me, I was happy, happy, happy. I wasn't surprised that Mrs. Brisbane helped Aldo. It happened just the way I planned it. But the next day, I had a big surprise I never could have planned. My classmates were all hurrying out of room 26, heading for the lunchroom. Usually, sit-still Seth would have raced out of the room, but on this day, he hung behind the others. "Coming?" Kirk asked impatiently. "Meet you there," said Seth. Seth was the only student left in the room except for Tabitha, who was trying to stuff Smiley into her pocket as Seth approached. I couldn't imagine what he was doing. Tabitha had given the girls the cold shoulder when they tried to be friends. And Seth is a boy. Everybody knows boys and girls can't be friends. At least that's what I heard Art and Richie say. "How do you know all the sports stuff the other day?" he asked her. Tabitha shrugged her shoulders. "I don't know. I just like sports. And I remember things I hear about sports." "Me too," answered Seth. "What sports do you like the best?" Tabitha thought about it. "Basketball and baseball. Football, tennis." "Me too," Seth agreed. Mrs. Brisbane was in the doorway. "Are you two coming?" "Right away," said Seth, but he turned back to Tabitha. "Listen, I've got to ask, why do you keep that dumb bear with you? Aren't you too old for that?" he asked. Tabitha shrugged again. "When I was little, back in first grade, I had a truck I used to bring to school with me. I couldn't stand to be without it," Seth told her. "Do you still have it?" asked Tabitha. "It's in my closet. Sometimes I take it out, but I don't bring it to school anymore." Mrs. Brisbane waited at the door. Now she didn't seem to be in such a hurry to get to lunch. "My mom gave me Smiley," Tabitha explained. "My real mom. I haven't seen her for 4 years. "Oh," said Seth, "I get it." "You two are going to miss lunch," Mrs. Brisbane reminded them. "Okay," Seth rushed out the door, but Tabitha stayed in her seat. Mrs. Brisbane came toward her. "Tabitha, I know you've been moved around a lot. Your foster mother told me you've been with 5 families in 4 years. But she also told me that she wants you to stay with her forever," the teacher told her. Tabitha stroked Smiley's fur. "They all say that. It just never works out." Mrs. Brisbane sat in the chair next to Tabitha, so they were eye to eye. "I don't mind having Smiley in class, but I think you'd make more friends if you left him at home. He'd be waiting for you there. You can make new friends without giving up the old ones. Don't you know that little song?" "Now Mrs. Brisbane has surprised me many times, but I almost fell off my ladder when she started to sing. Make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver and the other's gold." What a beautiful song, and Mrs. Brisbane had a nice voice, too. We were all quiet afterward until Tabitha asked, "What's the good of making friends if you're not going to stay?" "A person can have many friends in her life. Even if you moved on, a friend can be forever. At least in your memory." Oh, I felt a little pang somewhere close to my heart. Ms. Mack was the teacher who brought me to room 26. Although she had to move on without me, she was a forever friend who would always be, in my memory. Ms. Mack was pure gold. "Listen to her, she's right," I squeaked. Mrs. Brisbane smiled. "Sounds like Humphrey wants to be your friend too. How would you like to take him home with you this weekend?" "I'd have to ask my mom, my foster mom." "I'll call her right now while you get some lunch," said the teacher. "I have to admit, Mrs. Brisbane is the best teacher in the world, and also a golden friend. Even if she did let Og into the classroom and made us study frogs."